The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As many of you know, I was a firefighter during 9/11. I remember that time distinctly. I had just gotten off of a shift, just got home, had wandered into the house, was wandering in to go take a shower, and popped on the news like I would do most mornings. When I'd gotten out of the shower and walked towards the TV, there were these news flashes going. But as these news flashes were going, and I could tell that whatever was happening in a different city, my pager started shaking. Yes, kids, go ahead and ask your parents what a pager is. It used to be the most awesome technology ever. But my pager was shaking. And so I went and looked, and it was one that actually had words that would spell out across it. And it said, "Alert, alert, alert. All firefighters return to your duty stations now." And so, not really sure what totally had happened on the TV screen, I went and got dressed again, back in a clean uniform, and went into the station. And it wasn't until that time that I heard about the attack on the towers. The next 10 days, 2 weeks, transformed my life. And I think our generation's life, of what it meant to be bound together by a great event, by an event that had so much tragedy tied to it, by an event that put our whole country on alert, had our whole country both filled with fear but also hopeful for what we are as a nation and how we can truly treat each other. Bound together forever because of that event. And as I was thinking about it, there have been other events in the life of our country that have bound generations together. I think of the Depression era and World War II. My grandfather, born right before the Depression started, grew up in that sense of everything had value. You kept everything. And so he was the guy who had just a jars spread out all over the place and didn't throw away anything. And he could take things apart and would say, well, I can put these screws over there and I might need this piece of metal for something else later. But this sense of finding worth in everything, because there was a time in his life when he had nothing, when every day as a child, there was this sense of not knowing. Or World War II, when the whole country and the whole world bound together to stave off evil, to fight against something that was trying to overthrow the world. And all of these other nations bound themselves together with hope for a better future for the whole world. And then Christ, the Word made flesh, binds himself to all of humanity, taking the form of a bound servant, is the word used in some translations, or servant or slave. But being the Word of God lessens himself. God made flesh to be bound to humanity forever. That Christ rides into the city bound to humanity to change humanity forever. We, this humanity destined to death and the grave, now because of what Christ has done, bound to us, has a sure hope that at the last, we, like Christ, shall conquer death and all that is broken in the world shall be gone because of what Christ is doing now in this humble move into the city. And so as I was continuing to think about this, of course, my favorite hymn came to mind. And so verse 4 goes this way. And please bear with me because I tried to speak it and the tone still played in my head. And so I'm going to sing it and it's probably going to be horrible, but we'll see how this works out. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abide. The Spirit and the gifts of ours, through him who with us abide. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. The evil foe of this world is and will continue to take lives during this pandemic.
This evil foe continues to try in so many ways to separate and divide us, to make us question and doubt the word of the Lord. But Christ has bound himself to us forever. And that is our victory. That is what we live in, and that is what we hope in. Even if this attack takes our very life, even as we mourn the losses of those who this pandemic might actually take their lives, Christ is with us. Christ is in us. And Christ will comfort us, those left in this world. And Christ will continue to move us forward, binding us all together in this time and into the future. So breathe. Even with a covered, masked face, breathe. Breathe because you are bound to Christ forever. And being bound to Christ is our sure hope and our victory forever. Amen.